The Iran war is reshaping domestic American politics in ways that don't map cleanly onto the usual partisan lines. And that's what makes this moment genuinely complicated for both parties. Let's start with the Republican side. Senator John Curtis of Utah, a Republican, remember, is publicly demanding accountability after two troops were killed and the Pentagon's delayed disclosure of additional injuries. That's a sitting member of the president's own party putting the administration on notice that the information management around this conflict is not acceptable.
And yet the same party is being asked to vote on $87.6 billion in supplemental war funding within weeks. That's a tension that GOP leadership is going to have to navigate very carefully. You can signal frustration with the administration's transparency while still voting to fund the operation. That's the political path of least resistance. But Larson's lawsuit and the constitutional authorization question give members who want a more principled stand an avenue to take it.
On the Democratic side, the Michigan Senate primary is generating its own drama. Abdul El-Sayed, who is running for the Democratic Senate nomination in Michigan, had a very uncomfortable appearance on CNN Tuesday when Jake Tapper pressed him on leaked audio in which he allegedly told staff to avoid commenting on Khamenei's death. El-Sayed deflected repeatedly. Michigan has a very large Arab American and Muslim American population, and how Democratic candidates navigate the Iran conflict, particularly now that American troops are dying, is genuinely electorally fraught.
Bernie Sanders brushing off Hakeem Jeffries' plea to stop backing primary challengers is a separate but related story about the state of the Democratic Party's internal coalition. Sanders has been systematically supporting progressive challengers against incumbent Democrats he views as insufficiently aligned with his economic agenda. Jeffries, as House Minority Leader, wants party unity heading into the midterms. Sanders has made clear that his definition of party unity doesn't include incumbents he considers corporate Democrats. That tension isn't new, but it's intensifying.
Then there's the Senate Democrats' accusation that the Trump family has generated $4 billion in profits tied to their positions of power since taking office. This is a formal Senate minority report, not a criminal referral, but the specificity of that number, $4 billion, is going to drive significant news coverage. The accusation covers a range of activities, including real estate deals, foreign investments, and what Democrats describe as monetization of executive authority. The administration will dismiss this as political theater, but the underlying documentation will be scrutinized closely.
A federal judge tossed the DOJ's lawsuit against Minnesota's sanctuary policies, ruling that the federal government had failed to demonstrate that Minnesota's approach to immigration enforcement was in conflict with federal law in a way that courts could remedy. This continues a pattern of federal courts checking executive branch overreach on immigration enforcement. The DOJ has had a series of losses in this space. And the broader student visa debate is heating up simultaneously, with Indian advocacy groups urging Congress to block a proposed cap on student visas that they argue would disproportionately affect Indian nationals, who represent the largest share of international graduate students in STEM fields.
The Supreme Court agreed to hear the Alaska pilot case, a Cessna worth $95,000, seized because a passenger had a six-pack of beer. And this one is actually important beyond its quirky framing. The Eighth Amendment's excessive fines clause has been applied inconsistently across jurisdictions for decades, and the court taking this case signals an interest in clarifying the constitutional limits of asset forfeiture. That has implications far beyond one Alaskan pilot's airplane. It potentially affects how law enforcement agencies across the country use civil forfeiture as a revenue tool.